Good morning. I'm Dan Brown. Come and see the works of the Lord. The Lord Almighty is with us. We rejoice that you are here today. Let us join together in praising God and witnessing his goodness through the word and sacrament. To our visitors, your presence brings us special joy. Please come again soon. Welcome. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. And if you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message today is Glory in Suffering by Pastor Gene. Easter flower order forms are on the table in the narthex. You can honor or remember loved ones and decorate the sanctuary for Easter at the same time. The deadline to order is March 18th. The Music Worship Committee will meet at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 18th. Zion Fellowship will meet this morning following the worship service. All members of Zion are considered members of the Zion Fellowship. March is the meeting of the Ruth Circle and will be on March 10th at 2 p.m. in the Fireside Room. Any women of Zion who are interested are welcome to attend. The Church Council will meet in the conference room at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Men's and Women's Breakfast Fellowship will meet Wednesday at 8 a.m. at the Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. First Lutheran Church will be hosting Lenten services on Wednesdays through March 18th. A meal will be provided prior to the service. Fellowship Committee will be providing a meal on Wednesday, March 11th, and is planning to provide a sandwich and salad meal. Salads, desserts, and workers are needed. Sign-up sheets and how you can help with this meal are on the table by the church entry. Minnesota Food Share March campaign runs through the end of March. Runs for the month of March from March 1st to April 6th. The Lesueur Food Shelf relies on generosity from the community to keep food shelves stocked with healthy food. During this time, all funds collected will be proportionally matched. The more that is collected, the greater the match that will be received. And a quick update from the Interim Search Committee. We're happy to announce that Pastor Sana Del Corazon has officially signed her contract to serve as Zion's Intentional Interim Minister. Pastor Sana will begin her work with us on March 16th, and her first Sunday will be in 2 weeks on March 22nd. Our committee is excited to welcome Pastor Sana to Zion, and we hope you'll join us on March 22nd as we begin this new chapter together. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep worship service available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Lent, a season of reflection, re-evaluation, new beginnings, a time to recognize God's grace in our lives, to find ways to let that realization sink in and take root, drawing closer to God as we are changed by His love. In this season, we should give of ourselves, our time, money, possessions. Giving helps us to see better the needs of those around us. It brings to light those things that may have too high a priority in our lives. It helps us to separate what we need from what we want, stripping away the things that keep us separated from one another and God. We should fast. It helps us to be reminded of the need for God to fill us, whether food or social media, your phone or computer. Fasting allows us to physically feel the ongoing spiritual needs of the soul. It helps us to see the truth that only God can truly satisfy. We should pray. It slows us down, focuses us on God. It enables us to be pulled away from our grip on the world and everything we think it can give us, and moves us closer to seeing God in the midst of it all. God is inviting us into this holy season, wanting us to be free from all the obstacles that keep us from His fullness. may we allow ourselves to be stripped down and cleansed, so that we may come to understand more powerfully the love of God and be made new in His righteousness and alive in His grace.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. Whenever the time changes, I am reminded of when I served two churches out in western Minnesota. They're about 15 minutes apart, and one of the churches had the parsonage. So John and I would drive out on Saturday afternoon and stay overnight in the parsonage, and then I would do the two services on Sunday morning. Well, one year when the time changed, I messed up. Oh, it was before we used our phones as our alarm clock, you know, because the phones, your phones automatically change time. And I woke up and I checked my phone and I was an hour off. And I got in the car. I got dressed very quickly, got in the car, and broke all land speed records to get to the first church. I just had no idea. I was about 15 minutes late. And there they were, just sitting there, waiting for me. And the music guy said, "Well, we knew you'd be here eventually." So every time the time changes, I get paranoid. So I'm glad everything worked out today. Let us join together in the call to worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Let us bow down and worship. For He is our God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to your house today burdened with many stresses in our lives. It is hard for us to focus on you. Settle our hearts and minds and make us receptive to your message this morning. We are desperate for clarity. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we will sing our opening hymn. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing All Things Bright and Beautiful, New Century Hymnal number 31. us join together in the prayer of confession. Loving God, help us, for we have run away. We have turned our backs on love and ignored long-term healing. Forgive us, God, when we have been selfish and mean. We have closed our ears to the cries of others. Heal us, powerful God. Make our brokenness whole again. Restore us to community. May we accept your grace, which is freely given. Amen. Receive the assurance of pardon. Jesus died on the cross while we were still sinners. Our guilt no longer defines us. We are new creatures in Christ. Your hearts are clean and your spirits are right again. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Also, always. Now let us share the peace of the Lord one with another. Peace be with you. What?
Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord had commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people's thirst there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock of thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff which you had struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, the water will come out of it, so the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For a while we are still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us that while we still are sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him and from the wrath of God. For if, while we are enemies and we reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God add a blessing and the hearing to the holy word. Amen. The gospel reading is from John 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob has given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tried out of his journey and was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw a woman, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus did not share things with common Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get the living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and the flocks who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never thirst or keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped the mountain, but you say that the place where the people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe in me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither of this mountain nor of Jerusalem. You would worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit of truth. For the Father seeks such of these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship the spirit of truth." The woman said to him, "I know Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, and the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "What are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and they were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will for him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is ready, receiving wages and gathering fruit for the eternal life. So the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, the other reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have done. So when the Samaritans came to him, and they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed of this word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I really appreciate our reader this morning. My husband and I were on a little vacation this last week, and I caught a chest cold in the airplane. And so I'm coughing, and so it's easier if I don't have to say all those long scripture readings. If I cough, I'm really not contagious anymore, I'm sure. But I sound like I've got bronchitis. I've given this sermon a rather provocative title. You may be asking, how can there be glory in suffering? I know that it sounds kind of crazy, but that is the theme of our scripture lessons for today. As Christians, we're called to have faith that our sufferings are meant to bring us closer to God. If you think that I am nuts in saying this, please hang in there for me. I hope this will make sense when I'm finished. Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Exodus. Moses is leading the Israelites in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. They reach an area where there is no water. This is a serious crisis, and they turn against Moses. They ask him how he could have brought them to an area with no water. They were not going to be able to survive. We're told that they are grumbling. Moses appeals to God for help. He even says, what am I to do with these people? That is such a famous phrase that a book about Moses was written, and that was the title of the book. What am I to do with these people? So God commanded Moses to strike a rock with his staff, and miraculously water appeared, saving the day. The people had tested God, asking whether the Lord was among them or not. The answer was clear. God had heard their pleas for help. The people needed to have more faith. Our gospel lesson for today is also about faith. We're told that Jesus had come into a town called Sychar and sat by Jacob's well there. He sent the disciples to go find some food, and as he sat there, a woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus asked her for a drink. She said, I'm a Samaritan, and the Jews and Samaritans are not supposed to mix. There were very strict racial laws back in this time. Jesus told her that if she believed the right way, she would be given living water. Anyone who drank living water would never thirst. He told her to go get her husband, and she said that she had no husband. Jesus then told her that she had no husband, but Jesus caught her in a lie. He told her that she had had five husbands, and that the man she was living with was not her husband. But he didn't judge her. The woman was amazed and called Jesus a prophet. He told her that people must worship him in spirit and in truth, for this is the kind of worshiper that God seeks. He told her that he was the Messiah. The woman went out to the people and told them this. The people came to Jesus and believed in him. The disciples returned and offered Jesus some food. And he said that his food is actually to do the will of God. He stayed in town for 2 days, and the people believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. The people found faith. They found faith. Our main text is for the morning is our New Testament reading from the book of Romans. Romans is the foundational text of Christian theology. Everything you need to be a Christian can be found in the book of Romans. It addressed humanity's need for righteousness, the role of faith and salvation, and the way of a life in Christ. Chapters 1 through 3 discuss humanity's sinfulness and failure to achieve righteousness under the law. Chapters 4 through 5 explain how righteousness is attained through faith in Jesus. Chapters 6 through 8 discuss new life in Christ and freedom from sin by living in the Spirit. Chapters 9 through 11 address God's covenant with Israel and his plan for salvation. Finally, chapters 12 through 16 provide guidance on how to live out faith in community. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul in 57 AD, which is before the Gospels are believed to have been written. It was a letter addressed at a specific audience of Jews and Gentiles. Paul wanted to lay a gospel foundation for the early church. This letter is so important that it sparked the Protestant Reformation, of which the United Church of Christ is a part. It was the beginning of Protestant churches like Zion. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, used it extensively. It is a very important book. So let's go back and imagine this scene for a moment. Paul is addressing a group of early Christians and Gentiles in Rome. The room is dimly lit with oil lamps. The people's faces have a warm glow, and everyone is looking intently at him to listen to what he has to say. The air is scented with incense, the mustiness of parchment, and the smell of bread baking nearby. Everyone is seated on cushions on the ground. The people have come to learn more about their new faith. As Paul speaks of unity, peace, and reconciliation, they are reminded of God's great love and the sacrifice of Jesus that unites them as Christians. Paul tells us that we are justified through faith and that we have peace with God. What does it mean that we are justified through faith? It means that we stand before God blameless. We have new freedom because we are no longer enmeshed in sin. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. We're also told that we can glory in our sufferings. Now, I know that sounds crazy. Suffering is hard. Afflictions are difficult and painful. Things go wrong, and we can be in misery. Why does this happen? You know, it's actually a form of heresy to think that once you become a Christian that you will never have trouble. Sickness and financial difficulties are often part of life on this earth. The Bible shows us that there's hardship through history. Abraham had his faith tested. The book of Job teaches us that suffering can be overcome. My father used to say that life required the patience of Job. I'm sure you've heard that phrase, the patience of Job. Job had profound suffering. He lost everything, his family, his wealth, and his health. But he ultimately achieved a greater understanding of God and his relationship with him. I'm sure that many of you remember the movie Rocky, about the boxer Sylvester Stallone. It's the story of an underdog boxer confronting physical and emotional challenges. Through relentless training and commitment, he turns his struggles into physical strength. We are called to have the same attitude. A few weeks ago, we studied the Beatitudes, and one of them tells us that we are blessed when we are persecuted and insulted. So in many ways, we should expect trouble. Our afflictions produce endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because we will experience God's love being poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we experience the love of God, there is nothing that this world can throw at us that can shake us. We should just stand in the love of God and let us cover us. We can fill our pockets with it. When we remember that many people in the Bible have faced suffering, we can face it with more endurance. Even though we're helpless by ourselves, with God we have victory over our troubles. Paul is preaching to a group of people that is facing conflict and trouble. He's trying to catch their attention by telling them that their afflictions will make them stronger. He reminds them that Jesus died for us while we were sinners. That is how much God loves us. Hope is not human-made, and it's not an illusion. Hope is the goal. What is required is faith. I remember when I was in Sunday school in a little United Church of Christ church in northern Iowa. And I remember one Sunday, the teacher said to us, "How much does God love you? Do you know?" We said, "No, we don't know how much God loves us." And she said, "How much do your parents love you?" And well, we all said, "Our parents love us a lot." And she said, "Well, God loves you this much more than what your parents do." I still remember that, and that's got to be almost 60 years. That is the beauty of our Reformed faith. We do not believe that we need to work for our salvation. We would never do enough to earn it. We are saved through faith and grace. I love the hymn, "Blessed Assurance." When we give up trying to be our own Lord and give it all to Jesus, we are given God's grace. When we have peace with God, we have a sense of wholeness, security, and assurance. We are accepted by our Creator, who fills our heart with joy and gratitude. God's love has no limits. It is everlasting, and it gives us a sense of purpose. It guides and sustains us through all of life's hardships. I want to have you do something right now. I will give you a minute. I want you to reflect on a time in your life when you felt overwhelming peace of heart. A time when you felt overwhelming peace of heart. Just think back on that. That is what Paul is talking about. Our trials can be transformative. We can become better people by facing them. God's love isn't a feeling. It's a reality. It is a reality, not a feeling. That love is given to us freely. This is a very relevant lesson for us today. We live in a place that is full of turmoil and uncertainty. There's a great deal of suffering. But if we use it as a pathway to hope and rejoice, even when things are hard, things will get better. But if we embrace our sufferings, we can become beacons of hope. In the Alcoholics Anonymous program, they talk about experience, strength, and hope. That is our best approach to life. Let all the love that we have received inspire us to lift others. Let us never give up. We are greatly, greatly loved by God. Amen. And please remain seated as we sing our next hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
that hymn. Now we receive... Oh, I flipped the prayers and the offering. We will now do our morning prayer. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Heavenly God, we find ourselves to be all messed up. It seems like we're in the wrong place, but we cannot get out. We truly are the poor in spirit. We do not know what to do. The world is in such a mess, and we seem powerless to change it. We feel like we need to take action, but it seems helpless. Our personal lives are complicated, and we seem to be grasping in the dark for answers. We look for truth, and we cannot find it. Move us, God, and show us the way to go. Let love and beauty find us. Help us walk with direction and purpose. Let us not be afraid to grow into better people. Help us live in honest and kind ways. Enable us to help others. Meet us where we are and lead us where we are called to go. We trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Receive our morning offering. Please rise for the doxology. Let us pray. Heavenly Creator, we are so very grateful for all of the blessings you have given us. Make these gifts to you grow so that they can help to spread your word to others and to ease the suffering of desperate people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did forget the prayer request this morning. We're asking for healing prayers for Cameron Ranow, who is healing from a heart transplant. So let us all keep Cameron in our prayers. And now let us join together in the recessional hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Benediction. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift up your eyes and see God's face and God's grace forever. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Amen.